The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 12th chapter. One of the scribes came near and heard Jesus and Sadducees disputing with one another. Hold on. Wrong gospel. Here we are. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. But a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. When Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all she has to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. We had a wonderful conversation before worship this morning on the Parliament of World Religions, and talking a lot about interfaith dialogue and what that means in today's world. You know, interfaith relationships and dialogue has been a passion of mine since before seminary. And I remember one such experience that was really profound for me. I was going to an interfaith ceremony for peace at a temple, a Buddhist temple in San Francisco. And I went with my friend Dharam, who I've mentioned a couple times, I think, before. Dharam was a practicing Sikh. And so Dharam and I entered the temple, and this temple had seen past violence. And so it had guards there, and it required everyone to go through metal detectors. And so Dharam and I went through the process, and in this process they found that Dharam had a knife in his clothes. And actually this knife is very typical for a Sikh. It's called a kirpan, and it really is the smashing together of two different words in Sanskrit. One word meaning mercy or grace. As the follower of the Sikh faith must be reminded of God's mercy in keeping the virtues of the guru. And the other word meaning honor or dignity. Of course, a follower must be reminded and have the courage to fight for the wrongfully oppressed or persecuted. And this dagger is not sharpened or anything, and some of the daggers actually can't even come out of their sheaths. And so, for that reason, many airports and military bases and other secure areas have allowed practicing Sikhs to bring this knife into their public places. However, the security at the San Francisco Buddhist Temple would not allow Dharam to enter that temple. In fact, it took the leader of the ceremony to come out to the guards and tell them that it is okay and for them to grant temporary entrance into this temple for Dharam. You know, I've been thinking of this experience a lot as I've been pondering this story this week in our gospel text with the woman and two coins, because I think that there are some similarities. You see, the temple system at the time of Jesus was incredibly complex. The temple design itself was actually, if you look at it, a map of several circles, and they all revolved around the center, which we call the Holy of Holies, and that is where God dwelled, or God was believed to actually live. And so the closer that you got into the temple, closer to this Holy of Holies, to the center, the more requirements you had. And so this story takes place in the women's court, where only clean Jewish women could enter. There was another section for men. And you had a requirement to pay what you called the temple tax. And the temple tax was a requirement that was on all Jewish people, both men and women, in order to cover the cost of sacrifices to God, but also as a funding of a social security system of sorts for those in need. Well, of course, in order to worship, as a practicing Jew, you needed to pay this tax. Everyone needed to pay this tax. Caught without the ability to pay the tax, or not being clean or Jewish, you were barred from the temple. Similarly to being barred from the Buddhist temple, like my friend, Dharam. So I wonder, then, what requirements do we put on our temple? Called Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Bonner. Is Jesus calling us out in this story as well? Now, before I get to that, I think we need to dig deeper a little bit more into the rich context of this passage. The purpose of the design of the Jewish temple as well as the temple tax was, I believe, twofold. The first one was that it helped form an identity for the Jewish people. Remember, the Jewish people are under occupation from a foreign military force called Rome. And you needed to form an identity. Otherwise, you were going to be lost in this very complex system of occupation. And secondly, I think they helped devise this structure because the structure was a system that enabled the Jewish people to care for their own. No one else at this time was caring for their own. There was no Social Security, there was no Medicare, there was none of that. It was a safety net. So the purpose for this tax was, I believe, genuinely in good faith. Of course, there were problems. The problem was that the Sanhedrin, another word for the Jewish temple leadership, were tremendously corrupt. We have documentation of this from other first century sources in Jesus' time. In fact, they secretly mixed, married, and helped the Roman elite with causes that more or less slowly broke down the Jewish community instead of building it up. And the temple tax, of course, is a notable good idea, as it was, became horribly flawed. Temple leaders regularly orchestrated distribution according to their, of course, own interests. And even more unhappily, the tax system degenerated into a system of favoritism and profiteering. This system was hardest on those who had the least. And they were often forced to sell their land and even their children into slavery in order just to pay this tax to go worship. You probably now get the idea of when Jesus says in this passage, those leaders devour widows' houses, because they literally do. Jesus' critique when seeing this widow put her two coins in before she worships, is a critique of a system of blockades that prevented most from getting in and that couldn't see anything beyond itself. Now, I have to say that this temple system of the first century is not representative of the Jewish faith today. For the Jewish faith has many notable figures fighting to break down these barriers that we talk about of racism, poverty, and division. However, the image of this widow putting her two coins into the treasury basket, I think, is still very important for our church. Yes, we don't have a church that is divided into concentric circles as the temple was, or nor do we, even with a free offering basket sometimes at the beginning of our worship, we don't have a tax that defines if you're in or out of our sanctuary. But do we have other barriers in this congregation? Could our bulletins or our church hymnals be barriers? Could what the pastor wears be a barrier? Could the liturgy be a barrier to some people who walk in those doors? Again, we are faced with our identity as Lutheran Christians, living in an unchurched context. Now, before you call a special meeting to kick your pastor out of the church, I am not, I should say, suggesting that we should end our liturgy or not sing our favorite hymns or all wear ripped jeans to church. But what I am saying is that many of these things that are cherished foundations of our church and our community and of our faith must also be understood and be explained to those who aren't familiar with these traditions and who could possibly see these things as barriers from and preventing them from seeing God. Jesus highlighting the widow's mite fundamentally challenged the temple system, which put up requirements, but a temple system that couldn't look beyond itself. It challenges, I think, our temple system in many ways. It challenges us as the body of Christ to look at ourselves and to look at what we cherish and perhaps the barriers that we put up. How does our body of Christ welcome and explain our practice to people? That's a good question. How does our body of Christ respect, include, and work to understand other perspectives, perhaps like Durham's Kirpan? Maybe it means just simply handing a new person a hymnal and saying, "Don't worry, just watch me. I screw up too." Or maybe it means truly asking someone deeper questions than just about the weather in coffee hour. Or maybe it means having coffee or tea with someone you haven't gotten to know yet. It means many things. Now, I'm reminded of seeing what this church was like last night, eating together, being together, talking together more deeply, that I think can be the future of what this community is and how Christ is present in us. We must know, of course, the walls that we put up first before we tear them down. This is what Jesus is calling out the temple authorities, but getting a deaf ear to. But I have hope I have hope that our church, our temple, will not turn a deaf ear. We'll see the barriers, perhaps, to some people. We'll see how we can radically change to invite others to take part in our practice. May we hear this call of Jesus as well, and have the courage to respond, to see the widow and the barriers, and to reach out to all of those who feel separated from our church. Amen.